This is Iggy Pop.
And it is coming up on 9 p.m. Thursday evening. That means it's time for Backstage Stories with Marcia Pendleton. Stay tuned.
Greetings and welcome to Backstage Stories on listener-supported WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and streaming at WBAI.org. I'm Marcia Pendleton, the producer and your host. And with us today are award-winning actor, director, writer, and producer Rome Neal. We're excited to welcome him back to the program to talk about Lady Jazzy Thespians and upcoming presentation of Banana Pudding Jazz. And we have two of the vocalists who are featured in this evening of glorious jazz and performance. We have actor, singer, entertainer Rhea Alexander, who I understand won her first Adelco Award as part of the Best Ensemble for Picking Up the Pieces at Black Spectrum Theater, yes. One of our favorites here. And fresh from her run as Josephine Baker in the musical Harmony on Broadway, Allison Sims. And also, she played Diana Ross in Motown, the musical. And I want to say welcome to you all to Backstage Stories.
Hello, hello.
Thank you, Marcia.
All right, so let's jump right into it. Rome, yes. Banana Pudding Jazz. Please tell us what that is, how you developed it, the description of it. I mean, like, it sounds good. I know food is involved, but also great music too. So share something about that, Banana Pudding Jazz.
Well, thank you for having us on. Listen, you are the hostess with the mostest. I've been enjoying your productions on radio for quite a while now. And every time you're on with someone special and you're sharing what's happening in the entertainment world. We love it. I love it. Banana Pudding Jazz started. I did this one-man show, Monk, about Thelonious Monk. And while doing it, you can play a character like Thelonious Monk. You have to do your research. You have to go out to the jazz clubs and be amongst the musicians, amongst the people who love jazz. You have to be all up in it. You have to talk to people who knew Monk. And it got to me one night when I was uptown at St. Nick's Pub. You remember St. Nick's Pub?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was up at St. Nick's Pub one night, and I decided I wanted to bring that energy downtown to the New Eureka Poets Cafe, which is my home for doing theater. I've been there for over 40 years now doing theater. And so I brought my jam session there, and something occurred to me that I like banana pudding. I really like banana pudding. I used to, when I went up to Harlem, I used to, there was a store up in Harlem called Wimps,
mm-hmm.
on 125th Street, right off of Fifth Avenue. Had these big coconut cakes and chocolate cakes and banana pudding. Well, it was my thing to go up to Wimp's. Every time I go to Harlem, I got to go to Wimp and get some banana pudding. Wimp closed down, and I had to start making my own banana pudding. And one night I said, I'm going to take the banana pudding to my jazz set at the New York Poets Cafe. And that's where it hit. I was banana pudding jazz from there, then on. And I've been doing it for 21 years now, once a month. At one point, I was taking it to all the clubs, to the plays. And I just love making it and seeing that smile on people's faces when they take their first it turns me on to see that. So I've been making banana pudding for forever for folks. And Allison, you'll get your chance to taste some.
Okay.
So what happened was I met a lot of great jazz musicians, and I would hire them and bring them down to the New York Poets Cafe to perform. And then I'll have complimentary banana pudding. And part of the evening is I have a poem that the audience writes. It's called the Banana Pudding Jazz Poem. The audience writes it, and someone from the audience, a lucky person, will recite that poem with jazz music up under them. And then there's a featured artist, and then there's a jam session also. So it's a full evening. Mm-hmm. And when you walk out of there, you're on overload. You know, you just don't go to a club like the Blue Note and for one set and they kick you out. You know, you come to Banana Pudding Jazz and you can stay forever, really, until it's time to go. And that's like sometime at that time, it was like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning from 10 on. Reminds me of St. Nick's Pub, because St. Nick's Pub, you go in St. Nick's Pub on a Monday night for Patience Higgins and the Sugar Hill Quartet, and you come out on Tuesday morning like the event of a revival service. And I had some wonderful audience members that have come into the house, like the great Barry Harris, Randy Weston. They've come to Banana Pudding Jazz, and fantastic artists who perform, jazz artists from, ladies.
Okay.
Because it's all banana pudding jazz.
Okay.
See, I always have themes when I do banana pudding jazz. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, this particular theme, lady, started with the idea that I wanted I always celebrate women, not just for Women History Month, but for just to have women musicians and vocalists come together and do their thing, because they just complain about, oh, the women don't get an opportunity to do their thing as much as the men do. So in my programming, which is 12 times out of the year, I at least get two of those programs or three where I bring nothing but women to do their thing. It's called Lady. At one point it was Marvtastic Ladies in Jazz. Beautiful Young Ladies in Jazz. One of the shows that was Beautiful Young Ladies in Jazz, I had Jasmine Cephas Horn, Jasmine Cephas Jones in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was a fantastic evening. Her dad, the late Ron Cephas Jones, came to the New Eureka Poets Cafe, and he's sitting there looking at his daughter perform in the house that he started his career in. He did this play about Lee Morgan called Don't Explain. So Ron is sitting there, and she was a little baby when she came to the cafe back in the day. And he's looking at her, and he's got tears in his eyes. I've got tears in my eyes looking at this young lady do her thing. And this was before Hamilton and the Emmy Award that she won, mm-hmm, later on. So, you know, I've done things for young people with banana pudding jazz, but this lady program, thespians, go back to thespians. I did Adelco has a evening, the award ceremony in November. So each award ceremony that came about, I thought about the great Grace Jones, Grace mm-hmm. Ellen Jones, mm-hmm. who was the president of Adelco, and no one was giving her props at that time. I mean, you know, at one time they were dogging her, I mean, big time in the community. And I said, well, I'm going to celebrate her at Banana Pudding Jazz. And I called the night Thespian Night, you know. So artists came out and they performed, mm-hmm. Ty Stevens, Tia Fabrique, So many different artists came out. Stanley, Wayne Mathis, he came out. Mm-hmm. You know, all these great people came out and they performed for Jazz Thespian Night. And we're celebrating Grace L. Jones of Adelco. And I've done that for like 5 years straight, six years straight. But it was always like 2-3 weeks before the Adelco Awards. But I had to celebrate this woman, this great woman of Adelco, and to let everybody know that she needs her accolades also before the awards happen. And it was a way of coming together. So jazz, these ladies, jazzy thespians, I combined the two of them together and celebrating women this year. And I thought about some wonderful ladies that I know, you know, and I've been working with and been around. Rhea, where I met her at Black Spectrum Theater when I directed Carl Clay's Twas the Night Before Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. And she came out, you know, people, they're supportive too. She came out to a couple of my shows and I said, okay, she sang. I said, whoa, she's a jazz. She's into jazz also. And I've got to have her, you know, and so that happened. Now, Miss Allison, you know, I went to see Motown when it was at the, what was the theater? The Nederlander.
The Nederlander, yeah.
Yeah, at the Nederlander.
43rd, First Street.
Right. A friend of mine had Texas and brought tickets for us to go see the play. And I seen it already with Chester Gregory, who's my boy, you know, and I had to see it again. And then this woman comes on, she's playing Diana Ross and she's gorgeous and she's tearing it up. And she does that Reach Out and Touch song. And she says, someone come up and sing. I ran to the stage. I ran to the stage and I started to sing with her. And then as she asked me my name, I said, Rome Neal. She said, Rome Neal, yeah. And I shook the shaker.
Yes. And I heard you before you came up too. That shaker.
Yeah, so that was a wonderful moment. And ever since then, I've been in love with her and following her in her career. It's been magnificent. I went out to Jersey to see her in the play that,
Ruben Santiago Hudson.
Yes, I
saw that too. Ubladi.
Ubladi. Yeah, I love that song. You going to sing
Regina
that song?
Regina Taylor, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Taylor.
I went to see her in that one. I feel so bad that I miss Harmony because I really wanted to see her do Tear Up Josephine Baker. I really did. And
but we will talk about marketing offline.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Anyway. Because you didn't even know that Allison was in the show. And had we known that she was in the show, the community would have come out to support her.
Absolutely.
You know, like, that is an ongoing issue, even with quote unquote black shows on Broadway, you know. So, but I digress. Continue.
But, you know, again, meeting Allison was like a dream come true. And it was one, when we were, the pandemic, we were online doing Banana Pudding Jazz. And she agreed to come online and do my birthday show. And she came on and sang the song. And that was she's just a wonderful heart, wonderful, beautiful person. You know, I'm just so glad to have a friendship with her.
Okay. So we've heard so much about Rhea and Allison. So let them speak for themselves. Rhea, tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from. And let's do that.
All right. Well, I consider myself a creative and always have been. I am originally from Greensboro, North Carolina. Yay. Mm. And I let the accent come out when I'm excited or when I'm really angry. But anyway, I moved to New York. At this point, it's been 23 years. I moved 23 years ago. to pursue entertainment. My education, my degrees are in education. And so I was also a classroom teacher for a long time. And I met Rome about 8 years ago at Black Spectrum. And that was my first play with Black Spectrum. And just fell in love with him and with the production and did it a few times after that. And have just been inspired by the way he just naturally brings people in, and it's an instant family. So that's my story.
Okay. Greensboro, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. How did Greensboro influence who you are as an artist?
My parents, who are still alive and together for 54 years. Yes, very blessed. Yeah. And I have a younger sister. And so my upbringing was so peaceful and so nurturing. And whatever my sister and I wanted to explore, whether it was music or roller skating or playing the drums and marching band, they were so open and willing to let us express ourselves. And I thank them to this day for allowing us to be eclectic and us to be weird and truly find who we are as people and not just try to put us in a box. So I take that with me wherever I go. So
that is wonderful to have parents like that, you know, to allow you to be who you are, no matter who that is, as opposed to, no, you got to do this. You got to get a job. You got to get a real job, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. My parents told me, I told them, you know, I wanted to do music and all this kind of stuff. And they sat me down. They said, okay, you could do that. You get your degrees. We put them on the wall. Then you can go do whatever you want to do. And they actually stuck to that. I went and got my master's degree in education. And okay, I taught for a while. And I do so many things with my education in my back pocket, along with the entertainment. Mm-hmm. So, and they support me to this day in whatever I want to do. So it's a beautiful relationship with my parents.
That's absolutely amazing. And Allison, I believe that you are a Chicago native.
Yes, from the South Side, Hyde Park. And I grew up in a musical family as well. Both of my grandmothers playing organ. One of them was a part of the 6888 all women's Black Army Corps. And she was, they're actually going to be honoring them finally. You know, finally. I think they keep coming out. But anyway, but similar to Rhea, I grew up with mother and father who are still together as well over 50 years. Who supported my artistic expression, you know, even when I knew I wanted to come out to New York for grad school, they said, fly, butterfly, go. You know, they supported it even to this day, you know, even to this day where I feel like I'm going into another chapter of my life. And of course, you know, they give reason, but also it's mainly the support of being my own person. So, yeah.
Okay, so when did you start singing?
Well, I started around maybe 2 or 3. I was harmonizing with the vacuum cleaner. My mother said, I need to get this child into a choir. So I started singing out with the church children's choir and the Chicago children's choir and high school choir. And yeah, so all the choirs, you know. Also, my mother, when she was pregnant with me, she was in choir sitting next to the organ. So I just had all this music coming in through the womb as well. And then from graduating, you know, I went to the University of Illinois and studied classical voice as a coloratura soprano. Mm-hmm. And then after I graduated, I said, no, I don't want to be an opera. The dream is Broadway. Broadway's in New York. Let me see what programs will prepare me to step into that field. And so I went to NYU for 2 years, got my master's in music, and the rest is history.
What was your first Broadway show?
My first Broadway show was Book of Mormon, and I was a swing. And a swing is the understudy's understudy. Mm-hmm. So basically I covered everybody. You know, I was always on call. And it was funny. I'm not sure if you all have seen Book of Mormon, but my yes. church at yeah. home all prayed for Sister Allison to get Book of Mormon. And when I got it, it was the first time that I saw the show, and I didn't realize how
it was
inappropriate it was. So I told my mom, tell Pastor not to bring the church to this one. But for the prayers.
No, that is not the show for church people, especially Black church folk.
AME church. Oh, no.
Woo. Nah, yeah. That was a good one. You sound like a Tiffany Mann who did Jerry Springer the opera, and her parents, her father, and who she calls her bonus mom, you know, like her. All up in the gospel industry. And she said, no, you cannot come see this one. So we definitely do understand that. And then you were also in Motown, the musical. That's where I first met you, and I saw you perform there. I need you to tell us what it was like for you to connect with Mr. Gordy, Mr. Barry Gordy Jr.
Oh my goodness, the chairman. Well, for one, he's one of the most down-to-earth men. And considering how legendary, how iconic this man is of creating, you know, what Motown is, he's so approachable. And he was so hands-on with us. It felt as though we were reliving Motown, actually. He was so dedicated to the story and to the artistry, to the actors, the singers, the work of it. And he stayed in contact with us a lot, like giving us notes. And it really did feel like we were a part of Motown, not this Broadway show, but actually Motown. So one of the kindest, sharpest people that I've ever met, and forever grateful for that experience. My God, my God.
One more thing about Broadway, Harmony, that was Barry Manilow's story that he had been working on. And well, it wasn't his story, but that was the production that he had been working on for quite some time. How did I know you auditioned, but coming into the role of Josephine Baker, what was that like for you?
Well, it's funny because from one Barry to another Barry. honestly, I saw Josephine Baker on The Breakdown and I said, sign me up. What? Where? Okay. Yes. Let me. Yes. Because she is the muse. She is the muse, at least for me. She was Diana Ross's muse. You know, she was the one that paved the way for all, I believe, African-American performers and singers and dancers that have this joie de vivre, this specific energy, I guess. And so working with the director and the writer, they kind of like gave me free range because I had done my own research on Josephine. I knew of her story and of her impact. And, you know, they gave me a few like parameters, but at the same time, they kind of gave me freedom to really, I consider it being a channel. I feel like I am a channel or a vessel of these characters. And I appreciated the trust that they had in me for that.
Okay, so we are going to hear you on the other side of the break, on the other side of the music break. You are going to be the music break. Rome chose something for us to play, but first I need to do this. This is Backstage Stories on listener-supported WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and streaming at WBAI.org. I'm Marcia Pendleton, and Max, let's hear Home as done by Allison Sims.
to be back at home where there's love and affection. And just maybe I can convince time to slow up, giving me enough time in my life to grow up. Time be my friend. Let me start.
Like my daddy would say, that was some good singing. Hey.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
Goodness. And we're back with Rome and Rhea and Allison. And Rome, let's talk about this production of Lady Jazzy Thespians.
Well, you know, I'm just blown away. I really am. I'm just really just blown. I'm so excited about this. The 25th of March, that Monday night at Theater for the New City, where I get the chance to bring these lovely ladies to the audience that's going to be in that house. And it's going to, I mean, just that, just what she just, Allison just did, tells you what you're in store for. It's going, and it's so much more that's going to be happening. You know, you complimentary banana pudding too.
Okay, so in addition to the banana pudding, what's the show? What is the show? What is the show?
The show is we have five ladies who sing wonderfully. I've heard them and I've seen them, and we have Rhea Alexander, Darlene J, Lady Leah. You know, Lady Leah.
I did not know Lady Leah.
She was nominated for an Adelco Award for lead in Untitled, Charles White's Untitled.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So I know who she is.
We have Lady Leah and Tracy Titus. She's a student of Barry Harris, the great late Barry Harris. These fantastic voices that are going to be in the house. With that, there's an open mic that's going to happen if we have room. And it's just going to be such a full calendar of events happening that day. But open mic, and we have Melissa Slocum. I just booked her as the bassist for that night. Melissa, you know Melissa? Melissa played bass for Phantom of the Opera. Mm. Yeah, for about 9-10 years, and I just booked her today. Wen Tin Wu, a fantastic young drummer, is going to play. I'm still, you know, kind of choosy about who this pianist is going to be. You know, I want a woman. I want it to be all ladies. But if I don't get what I want, I'm going to, you know, grab me a man, put him in there and let him bring it. You know? I'm sorry.
Okay.
I mean, these ladies, you know what? The thing is, women are so busy this month. Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. Everybody's booking here and booking there, you know. So I'm not going to settle for anything with these ladies. You know, I'm going to get the best, you know.
Okay.
So I'm very happy about that. Again, it's going to be at Theater for the New City, 155 First Avenue, near 10th Street. For tickets, I'm going to give you a simple way. Make reservation. You can make a reservation. You don't have to buy the ticket in advance. You can make reservations
by calling this number. Don't tell people that. Tell them they need to buy their ticket in advance.
Okay. Buy your tickets in advance. But if you're fortunate, you can call this number, 212-254-1109. That's the Theater for the New City reservation line. That's 212-254-1109. And the tickets go on sale at theaterforthenewcity.net. That's theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-E-R, not R-E, for the new city.net. Again, that's theaterforthenewcity.net. You can go there to purchase your tickets. But like I said, be fortunate, call them and make a reservation, and you may be locked in that way also.
Okay, so the evening is you arrive at the theater for the new city. You pick up your ticket at the box office. You're scanned. Yes. You go in, and so what will people expect? Is it just the vocalist? Who chooses the music? Do they choose the music? Is it a collaboration with you? How is the evening set up?
Well, they've chosen the music, except for Allison. Well, I'm still waiting on her music.
You're not supposed to say that.
Just got called out.
Ooh, no.
I mean, she's been busy moving to Brooklyn, so we forgive that, you know.
Okay.
But it's up to the ladies to pick their music, and they're all great jazz standards that they've been choosing, you know. And the ones I've seen, I love all the songs so far. So it's going to be quite exciting to hear these different personalities come across with these jazz standards. And because they're actresses, they take it to another level.
Okay. Because it's the lyric and you have to interpret the lyric, and the lyric is your text. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so true.
Okay.
Well, you know, the other wonderful thing about it, you know, we're doing jazz, but it's in a theater setting. The Theater for the New City, they have like four different theaters in there. And each month, depending on what's going on in what theater, I get shifted from one theater to the other. This is my third time doing it. Again, we started with the New Eureka Poets Cafe for 21 years, and New Eureka has closed for renovations for the next 3 to 4 years. I looked to someone else or someplace else to do Banana Pudding Jazz, and I found it. It was my first home for doing theater, which is Theater for the New City. Crystal Fields there at the theater is she's fantastic, and she opened the doors for me, so I can have a way to come into any one of those theaters at any time and do a Banana Pudding Jazz on the last Monday of the month. So I'm looking forward to this particular one, and it'll be a set of a play in the background. You know, what I don't know what the set is going to be, but we're going to be open. You know, another thing about me and jazz is that I tell people, listen, you come in and you just let yourself go. If you hear the music gets to you, you want to get up there and dance. You get up there and dance. You know, just have fun, you know, just let it go and have a great time. And usually people do come out of Banana Pudding Jazz with an experience that they couldn't get anywhere else, really.
Okay.
I truly believe that.
Rhea, mm-hmm. why did you decide to be part of this particular evening?
Well, I was kind of commandeered, but so I've been coming to Banana Pudding Jazz for a few years, and just enjoyed the experience every single time. It's a complete vibe. There's no other way to explain it. Once you walk in, it's a completely different universe, just filled with friends and family of jazz, and you just feel connected to people instantly. So what had happened was the last Banana Banana Pudding Jazz that I went to, it was last month. And, you know, they have the beautiful opening premiere for the documentary that you did, which was fabulous. And then they had a short open mic. Yes, they had a short open mic afterwards. And so Rome said, Rhea, you going to get up and sing? I said, okay, well, no problem. And then I, you know, sang a couple of notes. And then he was like, you're going to do next month. You're going to do the women's history. I said, okay. So I was so blessed and honored that he asked me on the spot. And so I'm here. So let's do it.
You know, listen, she just not only just did a couple of notes. She blew us away. She yeah. blew us away with Route 66. It was fantastic.
Okay. And maybe in a few minutes, if we can hook this up, she's going to do it for us live.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we going to see, you know, so Max, I hope it works out. Allison, why did you want to be part of this evening?
Oh my God. Well, I've always wanted to be a part of Banana Pudding since I heard about it, but my schedule always just never allowed it. And I feel like now is the perfect timing, not only with it being Women's History Month, but you know, the contract Harmony is over and my schedule is free. And I really have always been wanting to step into the vocal jazz arena in New York. So yes. I think this is a perfect introduction and almost welcome homecoming, or not homecoming, but welcome back, because I think maybe I went once when I first moved out to New York, almost 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a long time coming.
What? Yeah, and this hold on, Rome. What is it about jazz that grabs you, that that grabs you, that it makes you passionate, that makes you want to share this original Black art form with others? What is your relationship with jazz?
I think it's the most free, natural expression out there. I grew up listening to blues and jazz has a freedom, a sophistication, just a natural expression that I feel is natural to us, you know, mm-hmm. and without us even really knowing what we're doing, you know, it's the how, it's the style, it's the swag, it's the it's the combination of like all of our stories, our personal lives put mm-hmm. into this expression. That's fine.
Okay, Bria, how about you?
Jazz to me is the ultimate storytelling experience. But when you throw that melanin in there, there's just, it just goes to another level. And the songs, you know, whether it's an instrumental or whether they're vocals on it, the story is told melodically and it's so gripping. It really is soul stirring. And so I really enjoy the form because you really have to know what you're doing. As you said before, you know, you let the lyrics, for me, they're my playground.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to create a universe within one song and then switch to another one. So, and all with breath control and make sure I hit this note because I don't do a lot of riffing in jazz. You know what I mean? So either the note's going to be there or it's not. And so I enjoy the technique of it and I enjoy the art form.
Okay, Rome, your relationship.
There's a brother by the name of Ahmed Abdullah from Sister's Place. He was the host there. And he said it so right with the, if that's a word. He said, jazz is the music of the spirit. Yes, it's the music. It's so much spirit in jazz. I mean, that the spirit of the ancestors, the spirit of what's going on around us at the time, because that improvisation kicks in and you can go anywhere with it. You know, I mean, you could fall on your face with it if you don't know what you're doing. But if you have the foundation, you have the foundation, you can take it and fly with it. You know, you can hit notes that you never thought you could. I mean, you could be sick and healed at the same time. I remember being in the hospital when Bellevue Hospital, was laying up in the bed and having WBGO on. And listening to the way they were doing fundraisers that day, and I was listening to the music day in, day out. That was what kept me going on. And I send in my little donation, like I'm gonna send in a donation to WBAI. And they asked, "What do you want to say?" Something I said that jazz is feeling with healing, and it truly healed me. And it does that for so many other people also.
Okay, so.
But what I wanted to say was Allison was saying that I was thinking about Chester Gregory when he came to Banana Pudding Jazz and he did a whole set night. Yeah. He blew the house away.
Of course.
Was quite a few years ago. He blew the house away.
I remember when he came to New York. Yeah, I remember when he came to New York. Absolutely. Okay, so Rome, why this particular group of artists that you brought together? Why this particular group of vocalists?
Well, again, it's jazz. You know, you make it as you go along. I ran into Rhea that night. I started looking for Allison. When I said I wanted to do this, I thought about Allison because she's always on Facebook and I'm looking at all the stories that she be telling anyway. So I said, oh, she's in Brooklyn. She's moving. Let me grab her now. You know, that's how it happens. You take people as you see them. Mary Wilson of the Supremes, she came to town one night. And she always calls on me and said, Rome, I want to get the Black audience to come down to Michael's or Feinstein's or wherever she's performing. And I would do it. But when she came to town, I said, Mary, this is fine. You're in town. The time is right. I want you to do Banana Pudding Jazz. I want you to come to Banana Pudding Jazz. And she came down one night and she sang Here's to Life. And she just blew my mind. I mean, she blew everybody. When she walked in the door, people were like, wow.
It's Mary Wilson.
Mary Wilson. You know, you'd be surprised who walks into the doors of Banana Pudding Jazz. When we were virtual with D.D. Bridgewater, she came on and did a couple of tunes. Keith David, Martha Redbone, Ethan Hawke. Again, like I said,
wait a minute.
Samara Joy.
Ethan Hawke?
Yes, yeah.
He was a
co-chair for my anniversary show, and he came and he sang with his daughter and sang. Well, he's more of a pop, folk type of singer, but he did his thing with his guitar and stuff. But he came and sang, and he brought some people down. I just loved it. That's my brother. We did Hamlet together, the film.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Samara Joy came, the one that won the two Grammy Awards.
She's amazing. She's amazing.
She performed, so many great people have come through the house. And I've got these great ladies coming in, so I'm overjoyed.
This is Backstage Stories on listener-supported WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and streaming at WBAI.org. I'm Marcia Pendleton, and this is The Great Experiment. All right. We are going to have Rhea Alexander sing Route 66 for us. So, Max, let's have the track and see if we can do this. Sounded good to me.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much for doing that. When I got the track, Rome said, this is just in case you want somebody to for her to do it live. So, you know, you can smack him on the head. So thank you for going along with us. That was really and truly wonderful. All right. So we're back with Rome and Rhea and Allison for the last few minutes of our show. So let's talk about what's next for each of you, if you can do that, if you're comfortable with doing that.
Well, I'd just like to say that at this point right now, I have a Ishmael Reed wrote a play called Shine 2024, and it's up now, it's online, and people can go see it by going to newyourican.org and checking that out. And I have a part in that. I play Polar Bear Sam. It's a polar bear that's on the iceberg when the Titanic gets ready to hit. So it's a satire. It's very funny and thought-provoking, as only Ishmael Reed can lay it down. So people should go check that out. That's it. Go to newyourican.org for that. It's online. Like I said, it is online. Ishmael Reed at his best.
Okay. And Allison, what's next for you?
Well, Like I mentioned, I've been doing a lot of musical theater and Broadway, and again, I feel like this is the end of a chapter and the beginning of a new chapter for me. And so now I want to just focus more of my energy on, you know, performing jazz and writing my own music. This will be the beginning of a new chapter, an explorative. I can really sink my teeth into the apple of jazz out here, as opposed to just musical theater. So it's a new frontier. That's what's next for me.
Okay, and Rhea, what's next for you?
What is next for me is the production, one of the productions that I did last year. They're going to bring it back. It's called Scrambled Eggs.
And yes. Okay. Yes.
Yes. So the writer producer, he's trying to bring it back probably mid-year, around May or June. So just waiting for that to happen again.
Okay. Our friend Reggie.
Yes. Reggie Wilson.
Yes, he's been on the show a couple of times, and he's a really wonderful actor and writer. So good. Keep us informed. Well,
let's cross our fingers and hope that it goes to the National Black Theater Festival also.
Oh, yeah. The National Black Theater Festival. You know, like that's homecoming for a whole bunch of us. Taking that trip to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which is always big fun and very creative, and it's great to see everyone. It's every 2 years, and I can't wait to go back. So, Rhea, I hope we're going to put that on the altar for you.
Yes, thank you.
we're going to do that, because there's nothing like being in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and performing for beautiful, beautiful audiences filled with our folk.
That's right.
So the other thing that I want to ask one more time, if you can let us know about how we access the performance on March 25th, Rome.
Yeah, go to, it's going to be at Theater for the New City, located 155 First Avenue and 10th Street. Okay, that's 155 First Avenue and 10th Street, Theater for the New City. People can purchase their ticket online by going to theaterforthenewcity.net.
That's theater.
That's right. And if you would like, you can, for information, you can call 212-254-1109.
Okay.
Again, that's 212-254-1109. Sometimes people like three, so I'll give it to you one more time. That's 212-254-1109 for Theater for the New City. More information about the play. Feel free to go to my website also, romeneal.com. Again, romeneal.com. And you can get more information about what I do. And I want to give a shout out to some of my sponsors for this coming Banana Pudding Jazz: Sonia Sanchez, Ishmael Reed, Woody King Jr., Stephen McKinley Henderson, Carl Clay, Hollis King, Perry Gaffney, Larry Cherry, John D. Smith. The list goes on. These are people that step to the plate and say, listen, bro, we respect what you're doing, and we want to support you in any way we can. And I'm looking for more. We need more to keep this program going on. So I give shout out to them.
Okay.
Eric Frazier.
Okay. So thank you very, very much. I want, again, thank you, Allison Sims. Thank you, Rhea Alexander, for your bravery and stepping up to the plate and saying, doing something like, we don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to do it.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yay. Let's go. And Rome Neal, for being with us on Backstage Stories. And I want to tell you, this has been Backstage Stories on listener-supported WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and streaming at WBAI.org. Thank you for listening. I'm Marcia Pendleton. Join us next week, and have a good one.
International Women's Day came to be. The year is 1909. At a labor meeting in New York City, 19-year-old Clara Lemlich jumps on a table and exhorts the crowd in Yiddish to strike against the brutal conditions of New York's garment industry. A cheer goes up, and the uprising of the 20,000 is begun. One year later, at a meeting of the Second Socialist International in Copenhagen, a proposal is made for an annual holiday in honor of the women strikers of 1909. The motion is seconded by Lenin himself, and International Working Women's Day, later known as International Women's Day, or IWD, is born. It is first celebrated in 1911. The date becomes March 8th after a women's demonstration in Russia on March 8th, 1917, leads to the toppling of the Tsar and the Russian Revolution. But IWD celebrations stop in the U.S. after 1947 with the Cold War and the rise of McCarthyism because of the day's socialist origins. It is not celebrated again until 1969, when a new feminist movement takes it out of mothballs with a parade in San Francisco where women dress as female historical figures. The news that IWD is once again being celebrated in the U.S. is flashed around the world, and the following year, 30 countries hold IWD celebrations. And so it has continued until this day.
Yes, it is bread we fight for, but we fight for roses too.
Come to a memorial tribute to revolutionary warrior and black liberation activist Ralph Poynter. Thursday, March 21st, 5 to 8 p.m. at Manhattan's historic Riverside Church. Ralph dedicated his life to social justice. From his work in education in the 60s, demanding community control of New York City schools, to his leadership of the successful campaign to free imprisoned people's lawyer Lynn Stewart, to his forever work to free them all, free U.S. political prisoners. And Ralph was a program host and national board member at WBAI, the People's Media Network. Join the tribute March 21st at 5 p.m. to register. And for more information, visit lynnstewart.org. That's lynnstewart.org, or call 917-603-6160. That's 917-603-6160. A tribute to Ralph Poynter.